We've got two readings this morning. The first one comes from Romans chapter 10. It's just the first verse. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Our second reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first four verses. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth.
Cool. Good morning, Pathway. Nice and short and sweet readings there. My name is Ryan, and welcome to week two of our Organic Outreach series. So last week, Etienne kicked us off, and we were challenged on our motives to share the gospel. We were challenged that to really love people as God loves us, we cannot not tell them about Jesus. Outreach is not to be done out of a sense of duty or even as an act of obedience, but out of a love for God and a love for others. How better to love someone than to introduce them to their Heavenly Father, the God of the universe? How better to love someone than to show them Jesus and the life forgiven, free from guilt and shame? How better to love someone than to lead them to a life of eternity with God? Love for others, driven by God's love shown to us, is what should motivate us and even get us excited to share this good news with everyone. We have been shown the hugest, grandest, most phenomenal display of love by God. How can we keep it to ourselves? We aren't meant to. So last week, we were challenged and encouraged to love others well by sharing Jesus with them. This week, we're going to explore the unseen work of outreach, and that is prayer. Is prayer part of your life as a Christian? Talking to God is hugely important and vital as a follower of Jesus. If you are someone who prays, what do you find yourself praying about the most often? Could be church stuff, could be, you know, Pathway Shed, ministry over there, people in the church, ministry in the church. Maybe you pray about your own personal struggles, or you're thankful for the victories you have. Perhaps it's stuff like your work, your friends, your kids, your family. And you might also pray asking God to heal people because they're sick or in hospital or whatever. But as I prepared for this, the question was put to me, how often do you pray for those who do not know God? How often do I pray for the lost out there? Either people that I know personally or people who are on the other side of the world who don't know who Jesus is. How often do I do that? Is praying for people who do not know Jesus part of our prayer life? Now, these questions I ask, and I asked of myself, were not to pile on guilt or even cause some sort of sense of pride. As I prepared for this talk, I was really convicted. The reality is, in my prayer life, I often pray for church stuff, my family, myself, people I know who are struggling, but rarely do I pray for people to know Jesus. Sure, it does, don't be alarmed. It does happen sporadically, like maybe I've just talked with someone and it's great, but do I consistently do it? To be honest, not really, no. And why not? I think it's just, honestly, just because I don't think about it all that often. There's a lot of things to pray for, right? But I guess I ask these questions because I ask the questions of myself. I'm asking them of each one of us this morning. How about you? How do you go? Do you pray for those who are lost? Do you pray for people that you know who don't know Jesus? As far as outreach is concerned, it is one of the most powerful and active things that we can do. And it should be the first action that we take. So last week we tackled our motives for effective outreach last week. This week we're going to look at step one. What is the first thing we should do to have effect that we can do to ensure that we have effective organic outreach? Prayer. So we're going to explore this idea of prayer this morning. And to me at least, it seems only fitting that we pause for a moment now and actually pray. So let's do that now. Lord, thanks that we can be here today. Thanks that when we pray, you, God, the King of the universe, maker of everything, our Heavenly Father, you hear us. Help us today to focus, to hear what you want us to hear. Lord, please speak to us today. We say right up front that we often fail to love others well. Often we fail to pray for others to know you. May what we chat about now make us more like you. Not to earn your love, but because we are loved. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So I don't need to spend heaps of time, I think, explaining that prayer is super important and powerful. Because it is. And Pathway is a living, breathing community of God that it is today because of prayer. But it's worth touching on and being reminded of. To quote Kevin Harney, the author of Organic Outreach, the book series that we're working through, he says this: when God's people pray, heaven shakes, strongholds are broken, and power is unleashed. Prayer is an enormous part of an effective and organic outreach. It is unseen and it's often unheard, but it is crucial. And as a church, we could run, think about it, we could run the slickest outreach event in town with the best, most engaging speakers flown in from around the globe, with the best worship band ever to walk the face of the earth, at the biggest venue with the most effective social media campaign, and even provide the best merch the world has ever seen and achieve less than what a prayer can. That's not to say that a clean, tidy outreach event is a bad thing, not at all. But it is to say that prayer is powerful. This is also to say that without prayer, even the biggest, the best outreach event or effort or church service can be empty of God's power. Prayer is powerful and absolutely essential when it comes to effective outreach. God Himself works in our lives and in those who we pray for. And we can play a part in it all when we pray. Ephesians 6 verse 12, we didn't read it this morning, but I'm going to read it now, says this: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You might have lots of questions about this. This is a bit like weird if you're not super familiar with the Bible and the Christian faith. Talk to me later if you do. What it's showing us is our best outreach efforts, whatever they might be, without prayer, cannot compete with this. When we're sharing the gospel, or when we're inviting someone to church or to our discipleship groups or wherever we're seeking to bring Jesus into someone's life, we're not just having conversations with them. We're not simply inviting someone to church. It is way more than that. It's not about overcoming someone's will with the perfect program or the attractive invitation. It is a spiritual battle. Those who do not follow Jesus are lost, and Satan loves the lost. He is not all that keen to lose team members, so he will put up a fight. Now, obviously, if you've got questions bouncing around your head, that's totally fine. I am not saying that everyone outside the Christian faith is demon-possessed, not at all. But what I am saying is that the battle we fight when we endeavor to proclaim Jesus is so much bigger than us. We are powerless on our own to do anything. It's not a struggle against flesh and blood, but a struggle against the devil. And without God, without prayer, we are completely powerless against it. So prayer is the essential first step for effective outreach. To say it again, that Harney's quote, when God's people pray, heaven shakes, strongholds are broken, and power is unleashed. This is the kind of power that we need to do effective organic outreach. So having established that we are to do outreach with love as our motivator and prayer as our first step, who is it we can pray for and how on earth can we do it? Now, I think one of the readings Chris read to us this morning says this about as clearly, answers the question at least, of who do we pray for as clear as can be said. So 1 Timothy 2 says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. All people. Why? Look just a few verses later. This is good, and it pleases God our Saviour, who wants, again, not some, all people, to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We're to pray for everyone so that they can be saved, so that they can come to a knowledge of the truth, so that they can know the gospel, so that they can know Jesus. Now, simply leaving it there and saying, just pray for everyone, that's not really that helpful, is it? At least, I don't think so anyway. We're casting our net too far. It's too broad, it's too big. And that can kind of prevent us from actually praying for people at all. It's just simply too broad and too big for us to just stop there. So no one is excluded from our prayers. We should pray for everyone, but we should also pray specifically for people we know and love. Think of people you know from your family, from your neighbourhood, your school, your work, your social circles. There should be a good number of people that do not know Jesus. Pray for them. Ask God to show a little bit of himself to them. Ask God to intervene somehow in their lives. So you can and should pray for them, but also pray and ask God to give you opportunities, to give you boldness, confidence, and a love for them that will drive us to share Jesus with them. Not only that, but you can pray for the church more generically. Or perhaps those you know who don't take outreach all that seriously. Again, this is not to point fingers, to say, oh, he doesn't do this very well. To do this in love. You can ask God to light a fire in them to share the gospel. Again, this can be for the entire church as a pathway. Lord, help us grow our evangelistic, outreach temperature. That's all in the book. Anyway, I shouldn't digress. Pray broadly for the church, but then pick on people too. If you see people who are, you know, in that little, little encounters you see throughout the week or in their lives, you're like, pray for them. Pray for that person to have the courage and the opportunity to share Jesus. So we can and we should also pray for those who have made this their full-time job. Think of those overseas, that's where we go first often, those who engage in outreach work every day. Not just in foreign nations though, but here at home too. We've got people from this church that are currently serving all over the place and serving here, East Devonport, in Devonport, all around. We've got Shirley De Boer in Madagascar, Quentin and Ashley Van Winden, who've talked here before and their photos are on the wall. They're in a very dangerous part of the world to be a Christian and they're there serving to bring Christ. Pray for them. And then the swim base in the Solomon Islands, our church has a lot to do with this. Pray for that base. Pray for the people there. Their goal is outreach, to reach the community of Solomon Islands with Jesus. Another thing in our denomination, India. Church workers in India. We support, as a church in Australia, a bunch of church stuff that happens in India. Pray for those guys. And then the not too far off future, we've got Andy and Rach looking to, they're part of this church now. They're going to ship off and head overseas again, another one overseas, to bring the gospel. Pray for them as they prepare. Pray for them when they're gone. And then we've got our friends in the shed. Again, it's local. They're doing outreach. Pray for these guys. It's a big deal what they're doing. It's not a battle against flesh and blood. It's a battle against Satan. Pray. There are a lot of people and organizations who can be prayed for. So many, in fact, can be, if you're a bit like me, a little overwhelming and might cause us to wonder, how can I possibly remember all of this? Well, there are a bunch of ways that can help. I've talked about this app before. It's orange one with the black hands going together. It's called PrayerMate. PrayerMate is a simple-to-use app that you can compile and categorise all the things you'd like to pray for. You organise them into lists and categories, and then you can choose what things you wanted to be prompted for each day. You can set reminders so that every day at the same time, or you'll get a notification. You can do lots of things. So while it does take a little bit of time to set up, it is a super helpful tool to be reminded, of what you want to pray about intentionally. If you want to know more about this app, I'd steer towards my wife, Bianca. She's currently on Pathway Kids, but she's got this app. She's a big list fan. I'm sure she's not the only one, and it's fantastic. She can have it all organized, and she'll walk you through it. It's a great, great little tool to help you be intentional in your prayers. I also know a few people, little more, I'll say, experienced people who have a list, a literal paper list, not a smartphone app, but a literal paper list of things that they pray for. The list can be divided up into each day of the week, and different things are on each day, and that's what you pray for on that day. Let's say, for example, on a Sunday, you could pray for Pathway, for Sabbath, for the millions of church services here and around the world. Then, I don't know, I was playing around with this, Monday can be Missionary Monday. Pray for worldwide missions. Pray for Shirley, the Solomons, Indie Way, and any other mission organisations or missionaries you might know of. Tuesday, I couldn't think of anything that rhymed, nor could I think of anything for Wednesday or Thursday, but I did think of something for Friday. Friday can be Free for All Friday. Just pray for whatever. Pray for whatever God has placed on your heart, and so on and so forth. Anyway, having this on paper helps you have a structure and to pray intentionally. To be intentional about your prayers, and it helps you to see also what you no longer need to necessarily pray for, because you'll see that God answers them and you can kind of cross them off as, or a tick maybe. That's cool, it's great. So another idea it talks about in this book, Organic Outreach. If you've got a good routine around prayer, then I've got another idea for you. Set an alarm. So Kevin talks about a book in his book about a 1-1-1 prayer. 1 o'clock, he suggests you set an alarm, not in the morning, in the afternoon. He suggests you set an alarm. When the alarm goes, you pray for 1 minute for one person who doesn't know Jesus. Obviously, the time you can do this can be flexible. In his book, he talks about a lady who did it 9 o'clock, so hers were 9-1-1 prayers, which as an American means something, apparently. You can be flexible, but the idea is one person, 1 minute, once a day. Set an alarm on your phone. I think we can all spare 1 minute, right? Do something like that. It will do stuff. It will change things. It will change things in your life and in the life of the person who you pray for. Now, maybe you don't want to do this prayer, or you want to do this prayer thing, you're happy doing this prayer thing alone, but maybe you want to do it with other people. Maybe you want to maybe you want to pray for people to know Jesus with others. Consider joining a prayer group. There are a bunch here at Pathway. These are spaces, they're again intentional and deliberate in what is being prayed about. And you can do it with others. Or maybe you're thinking, what the heck is all this prayer stuff? We've never prayed before. Maybe you're not even sure that prayer is real. I dare you to try this. Talk to God. Be real to Him. And say stuff like, God, I don't know if you're real. But if you are out there, please show yourself to me. Maybe you can say things like, if you're out there, God, and you love me, help me to actually feel that love. Or, if you're real, God, if you're as powerful as everyone said you are, could you please answer my prayers and my needs? Try it. I'm not saying you'll immediately hear an audible voice or a big booming crack of thunder, or even the circumstances of your life will change at the drop of a hat. But too often to be a coincidence, when these prayers are prayed earnestly and authentically, the person who prays them receives little answers and little glimpses of God. Ask Josie about it. Again, she's not here. Everyone I'm suggesting you talk to is not here today. But anyway, ask Josie about it. Most of us know who Josie is. She's got so many little stories. She's constantly experiencing this with her friends who don't know Jesus. There are lots and lots of ways, right, that we can help ourselves to be more intentional about prayer. If you're part of a discipleship group and using the resources we're putting out in line with this series, you can talk about this more in that group. But if you want to increase your organic, your outreach temperature, learn how to make outreach-soaked prayer a regular and intentional habit in your life. Talk to someone who has a prayer life that you wish you had. Ask them, how do they do that? What have they done? Make changes to your life and your schedule. You will see fruit in your life, but also in the lives of those around you who don't know who Jesus is. Now, we didn't just gather together to simply hear a lecture on the importance of prayer, did we? Sure, it's helpful and it's useful to know. It's good to know the who and the how stuff, right? But we should also look to why. Why should we pray for the lost? Why should we pray for those who don't know Jesus? Yes, we should pray to see people come to know Jesus. That in itself is a great why, but there is more. More of a why than simply that. As we've explored the importance and power of prayer in outreach, it's essential to remember that our ultimate example of a life devoted to prayer and outreach is Jesus himself. In John 17, often called Jesus' high priestly prayer, we get a unique glimpse into Jesus' heart and mission. He prays for his disciples, for those who would come to believe through them, and for the glory of God to be revealed. This prayer shows his deep love for his followers and his desire for the lost to be brought into the fold. Jesus' prayer wasn't just about himself or even his immediate followers. It extended to all who would believe through their message. In other words, he was praying for us and for those that we are called to reach. This highlights how prayer is not only powerful, but essential in God's redemptive plan. Jesus' prayer in John 17 is an example of what it looks like to pray with a heart for the lost, with a passion to see others come into a relationship with God. But Jesus didn't only pray, he acted. He stepped into the world, lived the perfect life, and died a sacrificial death for sinners, for us. Our prayers for outreach are not about getting people to conform to our way of living. It's about pointing them to Jesus, the one who took their sins and ours upon himself. We are calling people to find forgiveness, freedom, and life in him. Jesus is the ultimate answer to prayer. So when we pray for the lost, we're asking God to do the work that only he can do. To soften hearts, to open blind eyes, to bring the spiritually dead to life. And he has already provided an answer to these prayers in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Every prayer for the lost is a prayer that they would come to know this truth and embrace Jesus as a Saviour. Our motivation to pray and reach out to others with the gospel is grounded in what God has already done for us in Jesus. We love because he first loved us. We share because he first reached out to us. Jesus' ministry was filled with prayer. He would often retreat to quiet places to be with the Father and before crucial moments in his ministry. He sought God's will. And this shows us that our outreach efforts must be steeped in prayer, must be soaked in prayer, because the work is ultimately God's. We love others with the gospel because he loved us first. We pray for the lost because we were once lost and Jesus saved us. Now, again, as I started, with all this talk about prayer and praying for the lost, it seems completely appropriate that we actually finish in a time of prayer together. So I think we should actually pray now as a church. I'll leave a good chunk of time for people to pray. There's some stuff on the screen. Feel free to pray silently. Feel free to pray out loud. Let's probably just not all pray out loud at once, eh? Let's pray now for those who are lost, those we know who are working in the field, across the globe, or right here in Devonport. Pray for mission organisations, the Solomons, India, wherever. I have a few ideas on the screen which will stay up there, and yes, you can open your eyes to look at it. So let's stop for a good chunk of time and let's pray together now.
Father, I
God, thanks that you hear us. Thanks that you have saved us. Only in you do we have life. Only because of you are we saved. Lord, as we seek to bring your life to others, please grant us opportunities. Help us to see who we can share with. Maybe they're here this morning. In fact, I'm sure they are. Help us have the courage, the obedience, and the love to make it happen. Give us a greater love for people, that we might want nothing else but to share your love with them. Father, help us to pray for the lost often. Not just today, not just now, but often. The work of saving people is beyond anything we can do. It is all you, God. How can we expect change in people's lives, or even change in our society, if we don't pray about it? Lord, help us to bring before you those in our circles who don't know you. Please help us put in some concrete actions that will help us. Maybe it means getting a notepad. Maybe it means downloading PrayerMate or something similar. Maybe it means writing a list, joining a prayer group, whatever, God. Help us all to consider how we can pray more intentionally and more specifically for your lost children, God. And Father, we pray for those who are sitting here who might be lost, who are figuring this Christian thing out, wondering who you are and what you're about. Pray for them now, God, that they would experience you today. Powerfully. Just sitting here or in conversations afterwards, whatever, God, just please work. Show yourself to them. Thanks that you love us and that you listen to us all the time. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right, let's join together in a song now to the God that we know and worship and seek to make him known to everyone. He is the King of Kings. Thanks, guys.
Stand with us as we sing King of Kings. From heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Spirit. 3.
please take a seat while Etienne closes the service for us.
Thanks, Dana. Yes, as Dana said, that brings us roughly to the end of our service. Thank you for joining us today. Trust that it is valuable to you, certainly is for us. Before I read to us some words from Jesus, I'll just remind you of a few things. Please, spiritual health survey, online, hard copies, internships, if you're interested to find out, please hit me up. Knowing God personally, next Sunday and the one after, sign-up sheet out the back. We don't take up a collection in our service where you make donations or give. Please feel free to do so online, or there is a box in the back. Your support is going into the ministry and missions of this church, both here and globally, but you are not obligated to give in any way. Final thoughts after this service, please, on the matter of prayer, as you talk to each other, pray for each other there and then over a cup of coffee, off to the side. Please, we do encourage and ask that you would uphold each other in prayer after the service in the building here. And then these words from Jesus that Ryan referred to, which is quite astonishing to think that he, 2,000 years ago, and probably before that in eternity, knew that he needs to pray for us. He knew we need his prayer this morning because he knew us. And he's with us today. And he is praying these exact words for us. My prayer is for those who will believe in me through their message, the church's message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity with God and each other. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Dear brothers, sisters, what an assurance to go into this week with. Christ will continue to make known the love of God. Bless you. Amen.